Can you hear me? It's good? It's really good to be here. I've had a great weekend, very relaxed, quiet, no sirens, no gunshots. I was told it's good I'm leaving before tomorrow because hunting season starts, right? So that'll change. But really, I just had such a great time with your pastor yesterday. We went to breakfast and then went back to his house, and I think we talked for like 4 hours. Just amazing fellowship. I wonder if we really understand sometimes what God has given us. It's, I think, so easy, and it's human nature to become a little bit familiar with it and get up in the morning and think it's another normal day, that it won't really be any different than yesterday. It won't be any different than last week. God help us to have the eyes of our understanding opened. Paul talked about in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. God help us in Psalm 119 to have our eyes open to behold amazing things out of the Word of God. God help us every day to really understand the power of this Bible in the heart of a person. Your pastor has an amazing gift. Thank you, Zoe. I think you're getting water, right? Great. Isn't she? She's a servant, isn't she? We got one clap. Okay. Wow, thank you. Thank you very much. Whoa, now that's a glass of water. I feel like I'm in Texas. I thought of this morning when you were speaking about the communion. Remember Luke 24, the disciples were walking with Jesus on the road of Emmaus, but they didn't know. And when their eyes was open, was when Christ began to expound the Scriptures, and it says their eyes were open and they knew who He was. And I think your pastor has a gift in that, to open the Scriptures so that we see Christ. I believe you pray for your pastor. I believe you spend time before God for him and for his wife. Because I see the love. I see the joy. The body of Christ is here. And it's amazing to experience the fellowship that comes with that. Zoe, you still get a reward, right? It just appeared from nowhere. I don't know what happened. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. A story we've heard, but maybe God will just make it really fresh to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, bless your word now. Teach us. Build us up. Give us an inheritance that's eternal. We are just so grateful for the word of your grace. Bless this time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. David woke up one morning and he had no idea what this day was going to bring, I think. But he did something he always did. He drew near to God. He received from God. And that's what prepared him for what God was going to bring that day. Without that walk with God, David might have interpreted what happened the same way every other person in Israel interpreted it. And guess what? There would have been one less victory for the kingdom. God wants to teach us that life is not about what I can control in my life. It's not about the good things that happen and no bad things happening. Life is actually on a much higher level than that. I was speaking with a couple recently and I don't know how to describe it. In the beginning of our time, they were both down here on this level. Well, he this, he that, she this, she that. And you know what? There was no answer. They could read 1,000 books. They could implement 1,000 things. But as long as they remained on this level, there would never be a solution for their marriage. Period. You know what God did? He brought them up here. And they realized that the only answer to their entire life was to see things the way God sees them. And by the end of our time, this couple held hands, looked in each other's eyes, and said, "I love you," which had not been uttered for years. God moved because they were willing to have their heart broken and realize there was no answer to be found down here. Pastor Schaller uses the illustration a lot of a house. I wish I can't draw. And most believers live on the first floor where they interpret everything according to the natural data banks that are up here in this thing we call a brain. God wants to take us to the second floor, doesn't he? Where now I come into a situation, or now I face trouble in my marriage, or now I face trouble at my workplace, and now I can actually see the way God sees these opportunities, not difficulties. We need to learn to change our vocabulary, right? Opportunities. God, what opportunities are you going to bring me today? I believe that's the way David thought. He faced a lion. He faced a bear. Didn't skip a beat because he knew God was with him. Didn't slow him down at all. And every time he saw the faithfulness of God in those opportunities, guess what? It built up his soul and gave him substance for the next time. The second floor is where God wants to teach us to live every day of our life. It won't change the troubles. It won't change the challenges. It won't change what life brings our way. But you know what it will do? It'll change us. And instead of turning inward when those moments come, we turn upward and the love of God is shed abroad in our heart and we realize that this is the opportunity to have a ministry. Remember in Numbers 13 and 14 when the spies went into Canaan to spy out the land. There were 10 spies, right? Was it 10 or 12? 10 spies. 12. That's right. Thank you, Pastor. There were 12 spies. 10 of them came back with a negative report. 2 of them came back with a positive report. God is able. And it says in Deuteronomy 1:28 that the 10 spies melted the hearts of the people because of their negative report. What could happen if we became like David in the daily circumstances of our lives with that powerful testimony that if a person will just take God at His word, there's no end to what God will do in them and through them. And it will become a testimony that will encourage the hearts of the people. In 1 Kings 4, it says that, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom. He gave him understanding exceeding much. I love this, the way it's written. And then it says this, He gave him largeness of heart. And I was thinking about this morning, just this morning and just meditating on it. We want to always make sure that our heart is bigger than our mouth, right? Because when our heart is bigger than our mouth, what escapes the lips will build up and edify those that hear and ourselves also. But when our mouth gets bigger than our heart, we can easily discourage the heart of the brethren. We can easily discourage ourselves. When David got to this place this morning and saw Goliath over there and saw the children of Israel full of fear, full of unbelief, full of no purpose, beat up by the other kingdom, I think David got angry in his heart that a Philistine could influence God's people in such a powerful way. When you love the Bible and you love people, Don't you get angry sometimes to see how easily the kingdom of darkness influences people? Not only unbelievers, but believers. And you're just like, God, do something. Please do something. And I think many times God does something, and it's through the testimony of our lives when we just simply believe and take Him at His word and refuse to see from the first floor, but we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal something greater, a different kingdom. So David gets to the battle, and of course the first people that rebuke him are his brothers. What are you doing down here? You should be up there minding the sheep. Why are you here? You just came to look at the excitement and the battle. And, you know, David probably thought, what battle? No one's fighting. All of you are hiding because of fear. You have no clue what God can do. And you know, this was just another day. I'm sure David didn't know what it would turn into. It makes me think a little bit of when Peter and the disciples went fishing after Jesus was crucified, and He sees them out there. He's risen from the dead now. And He says, boys, did you catch any fish? And they say, no. And Jesus says, take the net and put it on the other side. And what is Peter's response? Lord, we have been fishing all night and caught nothing. But then Peter says, nevertheless, at your word, we're going to put it on the other side. What happened? The net was so full, it almost broke. It doesn't matter if we've walked with God for 1 year or 30 years, or 40 years, one day can make a difference because of Him. In one day, a marriage can be healed. In one day, a weakness in the flesh can be overcome by the power and Spirit of God. In one moment, a person can be given a vision in their heart that will open amazing doors in their lives. That's the power of our God. In one day, David went from being a shepherd boy to becoming the hero of Israel because one thing, he took God at His word and trusted Him and refused to live in the first floor but lived up here. We know the rest of the story. Saul, when David is introduced to him, wants to give him his armor. And, of course, it doesn't fit David because Saul was much bigger. I think a lot of times we try to use natural reasoning or natural provisions or natural ideas to solve the problems that we face in our lives. You know what is wrong with that? It doesn't require faith. Sometimes, in the midst of the problem, God wants us to sit, be still, know He is God, and watch Him work. And you know how I think He works many times? By changing us. And we become the solution for the problem. We're always looking out here, but sometimes the answer is having largeness of heart from Him. So David said, no, I don't think so. God will protect me. And of course he goes down and he grabs 5 smooth stones and a slingshot, and we know the end of the story. Goliath mocked. Goliath caused fear. Goliath stole their peace. Goliath accused them. The same spirit that's in the world today. But David had an answer. And it was supernatural. It was a walk with God that really believed God was for him. Let's turn to Jeremiah 16. I think the amazing thing here is David... This is the grace of God in action. David's brothers were angry with him, but David did not respond to their anger because he had a connection that came from above. He wasn't insecure. David knew who he was in God. And because of that, even his brothers were able to enjoy the fruit of this victory that David won. That's the grace of God. People, you know, if we get excited about God and we want to share Christ and we decide it's all or nothing and I just want to be crazy for Him, believe me, the first people usually to say something are Christians. Like, you know what? You got to tone it right. You got to tone it down a little bit. You can't stand at the university and preach with a loudspeaker. Are you crazy? It's going to give us a bad name. But you know what? The godly person that lives in the second floor is going to just listen to Him. When God does save souls, though, the same people get to enjoy the fruit of it. It's like, Father, one parable I don't really understand is they worked 10 hours and got 1 talent. They worked 1 hour and got the same. I just don't understand that. That defies human logic. They work none and get it sometimes. And it's not fair, but God, I know You are fair. So look what Jeremiah says here in chapter 16. And I think we know this verse. It's a beautiful verse. Verse chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. This is one of my favorite Bible verses. It's just such a beautiful picture. Number one, it implies that Jeremiah looked. He rolled up his sleeves and he got serious about the Word of God. We love it, don't we? That the Bible is more than our necessary food. I can't imagine starting my day without hearing something from God. It's so different when He speaks to my heart. It's so different when He directs my path. It's so different when He gives me a promise from heaven. I want to find your word in every situation, in every difficulty, in every challenge that life brings, because that's the only thing that's going to result in joy deep in my heart. And it says, not only did he find them, but he ate them. In other words, it wasn't enough to know it intellectually. We want to know it to the deepest part of our soul, don't we? Psalm 66, David said, hear ye, all who fear God, and I will tell you of the wondrous things He has done for my soul. What a testimony. We first come to Christ, we're insecure. I used to be really shy. I know it's hard to believe. When I was a teenager, before I became a Christian, I was very insecure. If you would have told me I would have done the things I've done, I would have said, you know what, see you later. I don't ever want to talk to you again. I'm not interested. And God did great things in my soul. And I think each of us have that testimony that the Word of God has gone into the mind and worked its way to the heart. We eat it. We can't live without it. We need God to give us the ability to see from the second floor, because it changes everything when we see that way. And then look at verse 19. God speaks to Jeremiah. And I believe it's because Jeremiah ran after the Word of God. And he says, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me, you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. Love this verse. If you extract the precious from the worthless. David, how do you process this situation with Goliath? Well, if we talk to his brothers, they would call it worthless. They would see no purpose. They would think that the enemy is winning. How can God allow this to happen. You ever said that? A situation comes and you say, God, why? Why have you allowed this? There's no purpose in this. It's worthless. You know what the Holy Spirit says? There's something in this I want you to extract from it. And that is what is going to put substance in your soul. Second floor. Can't see that down here in the marriage. Can't see it down here. You know, we think, God, if I only had... let me be careful what I say. If I only had a partner that edified me, a wife, a husband that edified me, if I only had someone that wasn't so critical, if I only, that's human nature to think that way, isn't it? If only they were different. That kind of thinking actually leads to, if only it were someone else. Down here. No solution. None. Never. We need to write that down and maybe hang it on the wall. There's no solutions for life on the first floor. There's some great programs like for addiction. But the one thing I see as I read books on this and get involved in people's lives in Baltimore, it's not enough to only empty the soul of the things that cause these addictions. You gotta fill it with something more powerful. We know the answer to that, don't we? It's the Word of God, the presence of God. Because that's what keeps that empty soul from looking back to those addictions to fill it again. Because now it's satisfied with something greater. Wow, David looked at this differently. And I'm sure he thought, Father, this is amazing. I have an opportunity to lay down my life and be an example to all of those who are full of unbelief. I want to see this from the second floor. And you know what he did? And because of that, God gave him boldness. God gave him power. God gave him authority. He was different. And everyone in Israel knew he was different. And he took that sling and he threw it. And guess what? The children of Israel were blessed that day. Because one person determined in their heart that they would not look at life the same way everyone else did. But they would climb those stairs to the second floor. They would roll up their sleeves, extract something precious from a difficult situation, and reveal the power of the living God. How do we extract something precious? We draw near to God. We get on our knees and seek His face. We refuse to be a social believer. We want to be a spiritual believer who hears the voice of God, who sees His face in prayer, who is learning to speak soft words that will turn away wrath in Proverbs 15:1, who has the fruit of righteousness as a tree of life in their heart, who sees things differently and sees things through the eyes of redemption. Speaking with this couple recently, we just got before God, and the presence of God came in, and I said, when was the last time you both got before the throne of grace on your knees and just worshiped God together? And they said, years. I said, there's no solution for your marriage unless you come up here and get before Christ and His throne of grace, not in condemnation, but in life. Because I tell you, husbands, if you know how much you're forgiven by God, it's going to be easy to forgive your wife. I'm not going to leave the ladies out, sorry. Same goes for you, all of us, right? How can we go to the throne of grace, realize what this blood has done, realize how incredible the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was? How can we go away from there and think one negative thought about another person? God help us to find something precious in life every day. Then it says, and we'll close with this, if you do this, Jeremiah, you're going to have a message. If you live in the upper room, whether you're a teenager, just the teenagers, say, you guys bless me so much singing this morning. You're going to have to teach me how to sing, please. That was beautiful. It just warms my heart when teenagers love God. It's a miracle. It really is. And Jake is writing back with me today. You're preaching the whole way. You know that, right? So get ready, pal. Actually, we're going to have fun. We're going to listen to throne words and just, come on, get excited. Roll down the windows. Yeah! Oh, sorry. Really, we will have a message. And I like what one great preacher said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you need to, use words. We will have a message. And it'll be a cup that overflows. It'll be precious life in our heart because we refuse to focus on the worthless, the difficulty, the earthen vessel. But we see the amazing power that's within us. And God gives us this message in our life that people taste, and like the woman at the well, they want to know about it. David is different. And I think, just like David, that's our heart's desire, isn't it? God, I want to be different at work. I don't want to be here in the first floor. Help me be here. And give my life a message that will touch the hearts of people who live down here. And give me words for them that give them hope. And then finally he says, they, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. I love this. We don't need to be removed from our job. We don't need a different marriage. We don't need anything to change in our circumstance. This is radical. We don't need anything to change. We need to know the one who's with us. That's all. And what He does in our heart will begin to bring a change in the circumstance. And we will have a message. And we will not become like them, but we will become like Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just love you. We just really love you, Father. You are so good to your people. And we just are before you this morning amazed that you truly, truly love us. And desire to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you for this precious church, for their pastor, for the testimony in this city, for the love that they share, for the joy that is so evident as they serve you. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that knits our hearts and makes us one. And we find life forevermore because of the anointing on the body of Christ. We're just so grateful for all that you have done for us. Teach us, Father, to live on the second floor. Teach us, Father, to have thoughts that are so much higher, ways that are so much more different, because we are learning to see the way you see. You come to the cross and you don't see it as an obstacle. You see it as an opportunity. And what an opportunity it was. Thank you, Father. And if someone's here this morning, maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior, ask Him into your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you. I want eternal life. I want eyes that see the invisible, heart that believes the impossible. I thank you, praise you, in Jesus' name.